Blog Talk Radio.
What is going on, everybody? This is Phoenix Star 9 Rainbow Rendezvous. It has been a long time, and I am so sorry that I left you guys. We have a very special guest today. We have the amazing Coach Carrie, who will be joining us in just a little bit. Yeah, we're on the line, so we'll get her right in just a few. But just to kind of give you guys an idea of who she is a certified LGBT life coach, certified law of attraction coach, an LGBT relationship coach, wedding officiant, transformational speaker, and sensitivity trainer, mentor, author, and radio show host. Now, one thing I will say about the radio show thing, with her being a host, I have been tuning in to her, you know, I wouldn't say from the beginning because she was doing it a while, but I started listening to the show and I was like, man, this is empowering me. So I'm really grateful and happy that she decided to, join us today and just give us a little bit of insight into who she is and what she has going on. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring Coach Carrie on. Hello?
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks so much for having me on. I know a lot of people watch their football and do their thing on a Sunday, but listen, this is empowering. So I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. My girl watching football right now, so I'm not even worried. So I'll just let her do her thing. But, they're watching football, but it's okay. I wish, more people could tune in. They'll probably listen after the football thing. So,
Definitely.
It's all good. So, to just kind of start with, why did you become a life coach?
One of my favorite questions, because people think that you just sort of decide one day. I mean, I know for some people that's how it works, but that's not how it worked for me. For me, the whole life coach thing, it was like something was tugging at me for a while, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand. I had a great job. I was in my career, minding my business, that sort of thing. But it kept feeling like there was more for me to do. I don't know if anyone else can identify with that feeling of, okay, this is cool, like where my life is, but it could be more. There should be more. And so that feeling kept tugging at me, and I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with it. And I have a lot of friends who instinctively tell me, like, you just know what to say. How come when we come to you and ask you about stuff, you just sort of know? Even in my corporate job, that was happening. I was always the go-to person for advice, whether it had to do with work or it had to do with someone's personal life. And I would just sort of respond in what I thought was logical and what I thought should be logical to other people. But the more and more I started like sharing my opinion and sharing, different things that I thought would work, I realized, wait a minute, not everybody thinks like this. I wonder what that is, right? So it's interesting because I went to therapy because, we all have our own stuff. So I was in therapy about a decade ago. And I'm in the therapist's office, and she's talking to me or whatever, and I'm, like, almost finishing her sentences, she's telling me the things I need to do. And I was like, yeah, so you mean I should, these three things. And she was like, wait, what? Why are you here? Like, if you already know, why are you here? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, I just assumed that that would be the logical thing you would say. So we got into talking about that, and she said to me, you should be a therapist. And I was like, nah, no one has time to go to school for 15 more years. Or, I'm exaggerating, of course, but I was like, yeah, I'm good. Like, that's not something I want to do. And the interesting thing is that therapist was also a life coach. And that's how I got introduced to the term, because I really, really enjoyed how she was dealing with me and the things that I was telling her. And I liked the fact that it wasn't just regurgitating what I was saying, but she was actually giving me like homework and tools and things to do. And so she started telling me about the whole life coach thing. And I was like, oh, okay. So I think the seed got planted there, but I still didn't do anything about it. And then it just wouldn't go away, right? So I started to research, Google, if you will, life coach, what does that mean? And the more information I found, the more I felt like they were describing me, I was like, oh, okay, I could do this. And I don't necessarily have to, you know, go back to school and get all these other degrees. And so it just sort of stuck with me. And then I started pursuing my own business in terms of, well, I'm going to try this, but I didn't want to leave corporate America because, you know, we're scared. We don't want to leave that stability. I didn't know what was going to happen. But interestingly enough, the life coach thing pulled at me much more so than my corporate America job, which I also love, by the way, because my whole background is in marketing and I have degrees in that. And so that's what I was pursuing. But man, when I started the life coach business, when I started down that path, that's when I felt that, oh, now I feel much more complete in my purpose. So I feel like it found me and it tugged at me and it wouldn't go away until I did something about it. So finally I was like, okay. And I know a lot of people can identify with that because we work our 9-to-5s, but there's always that thing, you know, that we're super passionate about, but we push it to the side a little bit because we feel like, well, how am I going to make money at that? And I had the same feeling, I'm not going to lie. You know, like, how am I going to make money at that? Why would somebody pay me to tell them the same things that I've just been telling them right now, you know, over a glass of wine? Like, what's going to be the difference? But that's but that is the difference. The difference is you make it a career versus just what you would do every day. So I always respond with, you know, it found me. I didn't find it. And I'm so glad because it's been almost a decade and I have no regrets.
Awesome. Now, you have done some, you know, you have done some amazing work. You know, I see a lot of people, like when I told everybody that I was going to interview you, you know, I had people sharing it and it was like, oh, it, you know, come listen in on Sunday because she's going to be interviewing the amazing Coach Carrie. I was like, see now, you kind of famous with it a little bit. And I was like, that's what's up. Because, you know, I've definitely been listening for a while, but a lot of people have followed what you, you know, have been following the tweets, the social media, the radio show. And with everything that you've already done, you know, how would you, I guess, how would you define success right now? Like, what for you has made you feel the most successful?
That's a good question because the funny thing is I know everybody has their own subjective definition of success. And I do too, but one of my main things, and this is going to sound real funny, but I think other entrepreneurs will be able to identify especially, success to me does equal freedom, right? Period. It equals freedom. But a big part of that freedom is being able to do what I do in my pajamas. And I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, I mean, I work from home. I set my own schedule. There is this freedom in just knowing that you are creating your own destiny. And a part of that for me is being comfortable, right? Like I did the corporate America thing where I was suited and booted every day, and I traveled and I did all this stuff, and it was exhausting. And I remember thinking, when I start my own business, because that was an idea in my head. You know, I think we all sort of feel that at some point, like, man, I wish I had my own thing. But for me, I really did want my own thing. But that was one of the things I told myself. When I have my own business and if I'm working from home, I'm going to take as many opportunities as possible to work in my PJs. And nobody is going to know. Nobody's going to know. So for me, you know, as funny as that sounds, that is one of my main definitions of success, being able to be authentically you, dress up or not dress up, show up, you know, exactly as you are. So on a serious tip, I mean, that is serious and it is true, but some other levels of it on a more serious tip is it is about freedom for me. Success to me equals freedom, the freedom to be yourself, the freedom to create your own schedule, the freedom to talk about whatever you feel is important to you, the freedom to share what you've learned over the years, that wisdom. And especially because, you know, I am an LGBT certified life coach, the freedom to live out loud and be proud of exactly who I am. And then, of course, the not so little part of it, but the financial freedom, because let's not front and act as if, right? The money isn't nice because I love it. I have a great relationship with money and I'd like to continue that relationship. So success to me always equals that as well. The financial freedom that comes with it. But overall, quite simply, it equals freedom. Period, point blank, put a period at the end of that sentence. That's what it means for me.
Okay. Now, what I will say about the pajamas answer is I'm so glad we're not doing this on video because that's probably
well, listen, pajamas
right now.
Well, listen, I mean,
right
I probably would have put on, you know, some pants if I, or a shirt, something. because how do you know right now I'm not in my pajamas? I'm just saying, I'll leave that, you know, for wondering minds. But I might be in my pajamas right now. You don't know. I might be.
You never know. You know what I mean? You can do what you want. So
right.
But that is freedom, and to me, yeah, I think that would, that's what I feel like it is. Some people may not see it that way, but I think it's being able to do what you want to do, you know, and wearing your pajamas like I do. Like, I'm not trying to tell everybody I do this every day, you know, just pajamas
right.
thing, but, you know, I definitely agree with you there. Now, just with success, now you also have something, you have a program, a signature program called Design Your Own Path. So can you tell us more about that program and how somebody can sign up if they're interested? Because I know you were, you know, speaking about people who kind of wanted to be entrepreneurs or were entrepreneurs. And, you know, I'm one of those people. So if you could just, you know, clue us in a little bit about that program.
Sure. The reason I came up with that program is because I realized that a lot of people were settling and just accepting living a mediocre life. Like, if something was going really well in your personal life, you may neglect other parts of your life because you feel like, well, I'm doing okay over here, so I don't really have to focus on my relationships or my career or even my spirituality. And so I thought, well, if you want to design a life that you really love, shouldn't all those areas be in balance? Shouldn't you feel joy in all of those areas? And one of the things that I think people don't realize, and I understand that it might be hard for someone to wrap their head around the notion of universal laws. And what I'm talking about is like the law of attraction. A simpler one that people might be able to identify with through example is the law of gravity. Me and you go outside, or you and I go to the top of a building. I believe in the law of gravity. You don't. But if we both jump, we're both going to hit the floor. We're probably both going to die because the law of gravity does exist. Same thing with the law of attraction. And I'm a certified law of attraction coach also. So I know we have the ability to co-create our experiences and to co-create the type of experiences we want to have show up in our life. So it led me to the whole design your own path. Why not be a participant in your life and actually design something in each area of your life that can bring everything together? So I created the signature program. It's 6 months long. And it's an elite lifestyle coaching program. And the main thing, the main people that I target is the LGBT community. But I also open it up to our female allies because support is support, right? But primarily women because we are the ones that sometimes will just accept that this is where we are and there's nothing else that we can do. And so I use my law of attraction training to teach you how to design your own path, design the life that you love. So because I know we can attract into our lives things, circumstances, conditions, all of that, that we want based on how we think, step by step, I help each individual that comes into my program create the balance and what they want to see show up in their life. So month by month, we have a different thing that we work on. But the main areas that we work on in your life is self-love, relationships, spirituality, health and wellness, your career, of course, and how to have you achieve financial freedom. So everything is very much me holding your hand in teaching you the different tools that you need to make this happen. And I even help you get all the way to the point of creating an action plan so when the program is over, you can on your own continue to maintain that particular lifestyle. It's a really cool program. It's been very successful. A lot of people love it because it does give you pieces of every part of your life. It gives you the tools to deal with all of those pieces, not just one part, right? And it allows you to push yourself way past living just a mediocre life. So if people are interested, there's lots of information about it on my website. If you go to www.iamcoachkerri.com and you click on Design Your Own Path, it'll outline everything that we're doing in the program, everything that you get from the program and the goals, and also obviously how much it costs. There's different payment plans. I've made it affordable. That's the other thing, because I don't want people to say, well, that sounds good, but if I'm trying to achieve financial freedom, you know, maybe I don't have all this money, thousands and thousands of dollars right now. I get it, and I'm on your side. So I've created it where you can pay for it all up front if you have it like that, or you can break it down into monthly payments. You know, it's totally up to you, but the point is there's really no excuse you shouldn't do it. if you want to and if you're ready to, because I've kind of covered all the bases, you know, of all the things that I know people would potentially say, like, you like the I can't afford a piece. Well, yeah, you can. I just made it affordable for you. So what else you got? But it's a really cool program, and I do encourage people to go and check it out for sure.
Awesome, because, you know, let me tell you right now, like, these lines are kind of lit up in terms of people that are, like, filling up the lines. So, guys, if you do have a question for Coach Carrie or want to say anything, please press 1, and I'll bring you right on. So while we wait for people to get that courage up, I'm going to go ahead and you know, bring this question out. In your interview with HealYouFirst.com, you stated that meditation is key when it comes to forgiveness. So if a person who hasn't, like, ever meditated before wanted to get started, how would they, like, what's something that they should, how should they prepare for that? What should they do first?
Well, the main thing is people hear the word meditation, and if they're not super familiar or they haven't done it, it can be really scary. I'll tell you how I know that, because it was for me. When I first started hearing about meditation, I could not picture myself being, you know, some guru sitting in a corner on a cushion with my legs crossed, you know, just being quiet, not thinking. I was like, well, who does that? Like, who can do that? Is that reality right now, or does that just sound good? And it made me not want to try it for a very long time until I realized, wait a minute, enough people are talking about it that I at least owe myself, you know, an opportunity to see what it's about. And it was a struggle at first. So I can identify with someone who has never meditated a day in their life and them sort of staying away from it because it feels or seems like it's going to be hard. But guess what? Meditation can be subjective to you. There's so many different ways to do it. With my clients who've never done it, the first thing I tell them is try for 5 minutes, right? That's not a lot of time. You don't have to sit there for an hour. For 5 minutes, just try sitting still. You don't have to be in any crazy position with your legs crossed. Like, you can. I mean, some of the experts, that's how they do it. But you don't have to do that. You know, I tell people all the time, I meditate throughout the day during different tasks. If I'm driving and I get to a light, you know, and it's a long light, that'll be a part of my meditation because I'll turn off the radio and I'll just sit there. And what it is you're just allowing yourself to be still for a moment. So I tell people, start with 5 minutes. And here's what's going to happen. You're immediately going to start getting distracted. All these thoughts are going to come, right? Even though 5 minutes is not a long time. But you're going to sit there and be like, okay, did I walk the dog? Okay, do I have to go to the store? Like, all of these things, your whole entire day is going to come flooding into your head. All you got to do is let it. Just let it come through. And then slowly start to listen to your own breath. Just start to listen to your own breathing. Because once you start to focus on that, everything else sort of starts to fall away. You try that for 5 minutes, sitting still and just listening to your breath, like literally you breathing in and out, you know, feeling how your chest moves when you do that. It's such a simple, small thing, but you do it for 5 minutes, and then let's say in a couple of weeks or the following week, try 10 minutes. And then the following week, try 15. And you work yourself up to where maybe you can do it for 30 minutes. If you really want to become, you know, more of an expert, try sitting in a room that has a focal point. You know, like for us and my wife and I, we will sometimes use an altar. You know, not anything voodoo-ish, because people hear that, they're like, altar, wait a second, you sitting down, who are you worshiping? No, it's just a small table, you can put on it whatever you want, you know, whatever for you want to focus on. It could be a picture, it could be, you know, a candle, whatever, it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be so intense. But if you have a focal point to focus on, that'll be helpful, because then your mind will be focused on that. You can put on a little bit of music, you can burn some incense, but you don't have to do it like anybody else. All it is about, it's about quieting your mind, because if you think about it, you're out in the world in the hustle and bustle all the time. You're constantly thinking of what you have to do next, forgetting that in order to get all those things done on the outside, you've got to be okay on the inside. And that's all meditation is. It's bringing you back to center. It's bringing you back to the very basic thing that runs our entire life, our breath. And people don't think about that. Breathing, it's essential. That's what meditation is, listening to that breath. And then eventually, you know, you'll start to go into different spaces of your mind and you'll come out of it feeling extremely refreshed. So if you're just starting out, 5 minutes, listen to your breath, sit in silence, and then work your way up to it being more time than that. Super simple. Don't make it more complicated than it has to be, is what I always tell people.
Okay. Yeah, I was laughing because, you know, you were like, think listing off all the things that, you know, could flood through your mind. I'm like, that happened to you.
Exactly.
That's why I haven't
like, focus. What are you doing? But it's life. That's what happens, you know, which is why we need to meditate. There's a meme mm-hmm. that I think has been sort of all across social media at this point, and it says, you know, if you're too busy to meditate, you should probably meditate for 30 minutes. Because it's true. The moment you start thinking you're too busy or too many things are going to happen, you're probably the main person that needs to meditate to calm yourself down. So keep that in mind.
Okay, that's awesome. I think I have to get back to doing that. I'm like, okay. I ain't got time. And then now, you know, I think it will probably benefit me to do so. So I'm definitely going to
exactly.
start practicing that again.
Okay.
And, you know, one thing that I do want to touch on, because listening to some of the shows that you've had in the past, and even I think you had like a it was like a teleseminar, webinar type thing, you know, and it hit on the topic of kind of like not settling, and I know you're big on
mm-hmm.
not settling. So was there
That's
any
right.
specific moment that made you say, you know, I'm not doing this no more, I'm not settling anymore, I'm done with it?
Well, yeah, the thing for me, you're right. I mean, settling is it's a big deal for me, because for a lot of my life I did settle, and I didn't even realize that I was, right? People tend to think that being comfortable is being happy, but really a lot of that is just you settling, because there's always more to do, more to achieve. And not saying that has to be the theme of your life, but you have to really consider, when you're just not moving, not doing anything, and you feel comfortable, does that mean you're truly happy, right? Because if that's what you think, then you're settling. So for me, my big moment came when I actually decided to leave my job, my great paying job in New York, which is where I grew up, in this big advertising agency, you know? And I thought, yeah, this feels good. Like, this is cool. I'm making money. You know, I'm not terribly unhappy in this job, but there's got to be more, right? Like, I had mm-hmm. never lived anywhere outside of New York at that point. I grew up in Jamaica until I was 10, and I came to this country. So that, you know, I feel like that counts, but doesn't really count, because I was 10. So it's not like I had my own apartment. You know what I mean? Like, I was doing what my parents said. So when I got to that point in my life, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to do something big. Not only am I going to leave this job, but I'm going to move out of New York City, because I don't want to just settle for what I know for a fact I'm good at. And, you know, nothing was wrong per se, but mm-hmm. I knew there was more, and I did not want to settle anymore. So I remember going into my boss's office and telling him, you know, I'm going to give you 3 months notice. First of all, who gives 3 months notice? But, okay,
yeah.
You know, that was my plan. I mean, it sounded good to me in my head, right? And I told him, and he was like, what? And I was like, yep. I was like, because I'm moving to Florida. He was like, well, what's in Florida? I was like, I don't know, but I'm going, because that's what it is. And I just remember him looking at me like, yeah, you're probably having a moment, and that part. But 3 months went by, and guess what? I packed up my stuff, right? I sold everything that couldn't fit in my little Honda Civic at the time, and put myself and my clothes and my big old desktop computer at the time, you know, how you had the whole big old hard drive that, yeah, took up a lot of room in my little car. But this is all I had. This is what I was going to do, and I was going to move to Florida, and I was going to start this new life. And I went to my best friend at the time, her parents' house. They lived in Florida. And I was like, hey, guys, I need a room. Okay, good times, and she's going to be here for a minute. And they were like, oh, what's the plan? I was like, there's no plan. This is what I'm doing, because this is what it's got to be, all right? So good talk. Thanks. Show me where the room is. And, I mean, it sort of happened exactly like that. Of course, you know, I had given them a little bit of a heads up on the drive coming to Florida from New York. But that was my first real experience with, I don't want to just settle because things look good on the surface, right? There was something missing. And so that was my big, I'm going for it, going across the country by myself, driving 26 hours straight, not really having a plan, but knowing I needed and I wanted something better. So throughout my life, that repeated itself, you know, because I've moved across the country mm-hmm. several times. I've started businesses. I've done so many things where just in that moment, I'm like, I'm not going to settle for just this. There's more life to be lived. And so I've done it. So I encourage you. It's scary, but if you don't do it now, when will you do it? You have got to take chances in life and have faith that things are going to work out. Even when they don't, at least you can say, you know, you don't have any regrets. That's how I live my life. I'm just saying, you know, it works for me. So.
All right. That sounds like a movie, though. So, you know, I might do that.
Right. Here, there's an idea.
That's a movie right there.
Whoever's listening, you hear that? Movie time. I'm just saying.
Now, we have people, we have somebody on the line that wants to talk to you. Do you mind if we take a call?
Absolutely not. Come on. Let's do it.
All right. Last four digits, 4754. You're live. What's your name and where are you calling from today?
I'm Helen and I'm calling from Tennessee.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. You got a question for Coach Carrie?
Yes, I do. I was wondering if there was a time in your life where you felt like you were suited, you know, you were stable and everything. You had everything going the way you planned it and the way you wanted it. And then all these voices from your past just came back. And they were, like, louder than ever. And it made you retract back to when those voices were first being spoken to you. And how did you overcome it?
Well, what's funny is that happens all the time. I don't think there's really ever a moment where I'm not hearing things from the past or people from the past showing up. You know, it happens. That's just life. When we start to move forward, like clockwork, lots of things that we thought we left behind will come into our experience and try to get us off track. So the way that I deal with it is when it comes up, I just say, okay, and I think about what's going on right now in my life, and I see where maybe that's a sign for me to pay more attention to what's going on in my life. Maybe I'm not giving myself enough self-love in that moment, or I am allowing myself to question my choices when I know that I've made good choices. So I just have to stop and say, okay, what's the lesson in all of these things from my past coming up? You know, what are these experiences here to teach me now about where I am? And I try not to overanalyze, because that's when we get super caught up and we really do start to question everything. You have to go with your intuition. When voices from the past, people from the past, situations from the past try to make their way into your present, just bless it with, okay, thank you, I see that, I understand that. But I'm where I want to be and where I need to be. And then I stop and think about, well, what is the lesson that's trying to come through here? What is this showing up to teach me? And then I just go from there. But I try not to overanalyze, because that's where we can all get caught up and start making crazy decisions when everything is fine. Does that make sense?
It does. But one of my problems is that I do tend to overanalyze everything.
Okay. Stop it.
Well, see, you know that, like, I've been doing it, well, ever since you've known me, if not longer.
Yeah, I do know Helen, by the way. Helen is somebody I've mentored coming out of foster care years and years ago, so I'm familiar with this question that she's asking me. I didn't know you were going to call in, though, Helen. So
yeah,
you do
overanalyze,
and I know that about you, but that's the thing. I mean, you're not alone. Tons of us, I myself, have been victim to overanalyzing, and there's no super miracle to stop that. You are aware of the overanalyzing, so you have to do more work within your thought process to just stop it, knowing that you are in this moment, everything is okay in this moment, and there's no reason to make it about other things that's not going on, right? Don't project onto your current situation all these things that may not even happen. That's where we get caught up. So you just have to silence those thoughts. You know, again, go back to some of the tools I even talked about with the meditation. Just being present to this moment and just sitting silently and just knowing that all of your needs are met and you're okay in this moment. And let that overanalyzation go, because it's not empowering you in those moments if it doesn't feel good. So that's your cue. If it doesn't feel good, let it go. Period.
That answer, personally.
Okay.
So, Helen, was that helpful?
Yeah, I need to listen to my gut more.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Helen. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you very much. All right. See? You know, that I told. Now, when I tell you that the lines are just, you know, still lit. You know, Helen had that courage to come through, so I appreciate that. But yeah, I do that a lot. I overanalyze, and then I'm like, you know what? Leave it alone.
Right, because when you think about it, when you overanalyze, what, you know, if it's not empowering you, like if you're not overanalyzing from the point of view of coming up with a solution, all you're really doing is creating more worry and strife in your life. That's not going to actually move you forward. And I know because I do it, and I have done it, and I've learned how to stop doing it. And, you know, realizing that if it doesn't feel good, like literally that is my cue for how do you move forward. If it doesn't feel good, leave it alone. Because our feelings are going to produce more experiences in our life, and all you're going to attract is more things to overanalyze or more things to make you feel quote-unquote crazy if you don't let it go. So get really clear on what is empowering me and what is not. Choose what is and keep it moving, period.
I want to know is, what do you feel like your mission is, like, here on this earth, on this planet?
Man, I have so many missions, but I think my overall mission is to be a game changer. You know, to leave a legacy, to make sure that women, especially women in the LGBT community, that they know, like they know, like they know, that they do not have to continue to live a mediocre life. They do not have to feel shame, you know, over anything that has happened to them in their life. And to know that you can heal. Me, myself, I feel like I'm a wounded soul that became a healer, right? And I want that for other people. So it's been my mission to make sure that I show up and I'm of service however possible to give somebody else hope, right? Because for a long time, I didn't have a me to give me hope. And so I wanted to be that person for other people. And it feels so good, right, to be a blessing. It's a blessing to be a blessing. That's how I look at it. So that's my mission, you know, be a game changer in that way and really help people see that they have a voice and that they can speak up and that they can live an amazing life. Why not? Why not? I mean, who's telling you you can't? It's probably you telling you you can't. So, you know, I want to show up and let you, and I have you understand you need to get out of your own way, right? But yeah, that's my overall mission, just to be a game changer and leave a legacy that means something. You know, have women think differently about themselves, finally.
So many don't, you know. So I think I believe you're doing that. I believe you're doing
that. Thank you.
And we have another caller. So you mind if we take this one too?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, last 4-2-6-2-1. You are live. What is your name and where are you calling from today?
Hey, it's Chantel from D.C.
Hey, how you doing?
I love it. I'm laughing because these are like a bunch of my clients calling in. I love y'all, really? Y'all have the answers already. Why are y'all calling in? Let other people who don't know. I'm just saying, go ahead. Hey, Chantel, hey.
Hey. So I have a question. I was just going to sit there and support my big sis, but then I had a question. So you say that, you know, when things don't feel right, like, you know, don't pursue what doesn't feel right. But what about when, like, pursuing what you know you should pursue doesn't feel right? Like, doing what you know you should be doing, you know, to make the positive changes that you need to make in your life. Like, it scares the bejesus out of me sometimes, and it doesn't feel right, but I know that, you know, it's something that I should be doing. I feel like I sometimes get caught up in what I recently found out is called forbearing joy and positivity. So, like, what... I need some advice. Help us out.
You need some advice? Okay. Well, the first thing is you have to delineate between, are you just afraid and that's why it doesn't feel good, or does it not feel good because you're not supposed to be doing it? Because a lot of times we're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pursue this, and that's my purpose. And then we go into it, and we start feeling all kinds of crazy. And then we're like, oh, wait, no, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel good. Maybe I shouldn't pursue it. But do we ever stop and check in and say, wait, am I just afraid of what's going to happen when I pursue it? You know, I experienced that. This whole life coaching, create your own, you know, path and have a business and be an entrepreneur, it feels really good, but it used to scare the hell out of me at the same time because of all those unanswered questions that come with it. Well, how am I going to support myself if I do this and potentially it doesn't work out? You know, what are people going to think? Is my mom going to, you know, still tell me 10 years down the line I should get a real job? Because, P.S., she still does that, just for the record. It's been almost 10 years. She's still telling me I need to get a real job. But that's because she thinks differently than I do. But the check-in is, are you just afraid? And is that what's causing you to feel like it's not a good match versus this really is my purpose? And it should scare the hell out of me, because if you're not afraid, the dream isn't big enough. The mission isn't big enough if you're not afraid. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't sit down and really take the time to separate and understand. Is my fear what is creating this feeling of, oh, my God, or is it that I really am supposed to pursue this, but there's going to be all this work involved, there's going to probably be some pitfalls and some failures along the way, and I'm already thinking about that, and so I'm creating this feeling that maybe I shouldn't do it. Do you see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with that?
Right.
That's my thought process on it. But for everybody, it's different, right? But the one thing I will say for you in particular, because I kind of know obviously some of your backstory, but your backstory is a lot of people's backstory, and that is fear will hold you hostage because of what is involved with taking you to the next level. And a lot of times, everything around us has to sort of break away, and we end up standing there by ourselves. And if that doesn't scare the hell out of you, being in it by yourself, then I don't know what should or what is. But that sometimes is what makes it feel like it's not the right move, when really that's just fear. And you got to work through that, right? You have to work through that part. Because like you, if I didn't work through that part, I wouldn't be on this radio show here almost 10 years later, because I've gone through all of those things where it was so scary and it didn't feel good, and I had to distinguish between my intuition, my fear, and all of that stuff in order to continue to pursue my dreams. And it landed me here on this show, answering this question, giving you my relatability of I've been there and I've done that, so I get it, right? So be careful that it's not your fear that's creating that feeling of it doesn't feel good versus it really is your mission and you need to just walk through it versus trying to walk around it. Yeah?
Okay.
Cool. Thanks for calling, little sis. I love my clients. They're awesome. They're like, they turn into family. It's like, and they support all the things I do. I love it. Thank you for that.
Amazing.
No problem.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, they love you, I'm pretty sure.
My people.
You know, there's your people here. I'm like, and they're definitely, there. Some of them are kind of coming into the chat room a little bit and coming out, you know, but they're definitely here and listening. So I appreciate them even listening and, you know, giving you that support. And I know we have a few minutes left, but I want to ask you, you know, I know you just mentioned that, you know, your mom's like still telling you to this day, you know, get a real job.
Get a real job, right.
But I wanted to know, you know, like for you, I don't know if that was one of the biggest obstacles or not, but what has been the biggest obstacle for you in your professional career as a life coach, and how have you, you know, overcome it?
Well, interesting thing, you would think, right, that would be a big obstacle. But a long time ago, I stopped caring about not just my mom's opinion about what I was doing, but a lot of other people's opinion. No shade. Love my mama to death. I mean, no, excuse me. Love my mama to life. But a long time ago, I realized, oh, she is very much on a corporate path. Like in her world, you know, a 401k, health insurance, bonuses, and things of that nature, that defined if you had a quote-unquote real job. And because I did have all those things for a long time, she couldn't really transition with me into this world of entrepreneurship and me being the one that does all the things that I relied on other people for. So biggest, not actually my biggest obstacle. It used to be an obstacle, but not my biggest. I think if I had to describe my biggest, believe it or not, it's interesting because I just talked about all this support I'm getting from, like, you know, my people, my clients. But my biggest obstacle has been a lack of support from the community at large, primarily women, because I think even though I don't believe in it, a lot of people do, and that is the concept of competition. And as I grew in my business and I, you know, put myself out there and I started doing things consistently, and even when failure felt like it was right knocking on my door, I kept on going. And so my success was imminent because of that, because I kept on going. A lot of other women in the community and the community in general would start to feel like, but wait, there may not be enough for all of us. If you're that successful, you're not leaving anything for the rest of us. And I would be like, wait, what? Do you know that it is infinite, this pie that we are all eating from? Like, you know, no, it's infinite. Like, we can all have a piece, and it just keeps reproducing. That's how it works. If I want it for me, I want it for you too. So that has been a very big obstacle. You know, the lack of support, or this feeling of competition, or you saying something somebody doesn't like after they've been supporting you, and all of a sudden now they don't want to support you. That whole kind of fickle, you know, I don't really understand it. It's like, wait, but you liked me yesterday when I said, affirm I'm a money magnet, but because today I'm saying get your life together, you don't like, wait, what? No. That doesn't make any sense. Like, stop it. So the way that I overcame that was very simply, I just kept showing up as me, doing what I do the way that I do it. So much to the point where I realized that the way that other people respond to me and treat me is their karma, and the way that I respond and treat them is my karma. So I'm not going to change who I am, right? I still believe in the fact that it is infinite as far as success, as far as financial abundance, as far as joy, happiness, whatever it is. I believe that is infinite, and we all can be a participant in receiving what is for us. I do not resonate with the crabs in a barrel syndrome. I don't. I can't spend enough time thinking about why you don't like me or why you don't support me. I'm still going to support you, even if you don't like me. I'm still going to clap for you long after you stop clapping for me. That's how I overcame it, because I had to. If I stayed in that same space and energy where somebody else was in terms of their reasons for not wanting to support, and trust me, people have lots of them, some of them valid, some of them not, in my opinion, but I can't stop being me, and I'm not going to, because too many people need me and others like me in the world. So I just show up. I keep showing up. That's how I overcame it, and that's how I continue to overcome it. But, man, the life lessons involved why you do that, that's for a whole other show. I'm trying to tell you. For a whole other show. But, yeah, that's what I've gone through. That's what I've overcome.
Okay. Now, what I want to say is, first, I want to thank you for coming on. And there's so many more questions that I have, and I know others have. So I'm hoping that maybe I'm thinking about doing a Twitter chat. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
Yeah, absolutely. I participated in those. Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. Like, I would love to have you on one of those, you know, so that people who may not want to just come out and talk, you know what I'm saying? Like,
type
and speak that way, you know what I'm saying? They could type it out. But I do want to ask you this, because you mentioned something just now in your other answer about how people have this this whole, some people feel like it's a lot of competition, you didn't have that much support. How can other people support you and the work that you do now? Like, and also, how can they reach out to you for your services?
Well, I would love for people to support me as I support them, and the easiest way to do that is to go to my website, www.iamcoachcarrie.com. Once you land on that homepage, you'll also see a list of all my social media sites. So if you go follow me there, you know, Twitter, at Coach Carrie, Instagram, I am Coach Carrie, YouTube, LinkedIn, all of those good stuff. It's all on the homepage of my website. So that is the easiest way to find me, to follow me, to support me, and I will always, always give that love back. Absolutely.
Man, this has really been a pleasure. Like, for real, for real. I am very
thank
thankful.
You so
like,
much.
This is the first time actually. Oh, no, thank you. You took time out to come on. I appreciate that. And we will be in touch. I'll definitely get with you on the Twitter chat. So everybody's listening still. Y'all have been holding on. You know, I've been holding on since
appreciate
we started,
that, everybody.
You know, so, you know, you guys stay tuned to that, and I'll get with you. Thank you again, and thank you to the callers
no
as
problem.
Well. And I hope everybody, I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. I hope you guys have a wonderful
thank
Sunday
you,
as well.
Thank you, you too. All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care, everybody.